We'll just bow our heads in prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to be here this morning, to worship You in spirit and in truth, to be one with You and with Your people, Lord, and even so now to make our wants and our wishes known unto You according to Your Word. Who said, is anything too hard for the Lord? We know there's not, Father, and so we're praying again for these who need special help in their bodies. Grant, my God, healing in both cases for these sisters, where they might be perfectly delivered of infirmity and problems, Lord, which are in the flesh. Grant, my God, that pain may cease and the life of Jesus Christ be abundant within them. Even as Your own word said, surely hath borne our griefs and our sorrows, which we know literally means our pains and our aches. And so, Father, we give them to You through Jesus Christ and count it done and thank You for it. And now, Lord, bless us in the remainder of this service and the Word. We pray that it might come forth with a clarity and understanding that people might just seem to know what it's all about and apprehend it, Lord, and use it in their lives. Grant, my God, that each one of us be a real Word-producing Christian in the sense that that Word is manifested in us, because we know of ourselves that we do not produce the Word, but if we are elect, the Word is producing us, and yet there is a fruit that must be shown. So teach us Thy way, O God, more perfectly, and harmonize us with Thyself completely, and we'll be careful to give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm certainly happy to be with you this morning, just thinking that I almost feel like I've taken up residence here, getting back in less than 4 months, when my usual schedule is about four times that, about 16 months. However, it's good to be here, and trust the Lord will bless us together. Now, in bringing this message, Brother Branham said that once we saw this message, that's all we would see in the Word. And it's got to the place where sometimes I wonder if I'm steering the Word like the denominations are doing, but I don't think so, because when a messenger appeared to Brother Branham in the series on the seals, and he apprehended what the messenger said, he just went right to his Bible and the concordance. Why, here it is, here it is, here it is. So I guess if he was being steered, I'm happy to be steered, that kind of steering. Because if you see the message, that's all you will see. And that's what you'll notice in this message this morning, although we'll also try to apply the Word to us personally. And the message is the challenge of the two kingdoms. The challenge of two kingdoms. And we're going to start to read in the book of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and we'll take verses 6 to 12. And then just one verse in Luke 16, the 13th verse. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And the one verse in Luke, chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I believe that many people misunderstand this portion of Scripture that I read over here in the book of Timothy, because to them it's the Scripture that they might use for a good evangelistic message and give this Scripture to the sinner. And they usually tell the sinner to give up the world and come to Christ. And quoting Moses, how that he left the world and all the things that were his in the natural. And he sought the Lord, which is good. That's truly scriptural. And also they bring out, as this does, that the world will perish, but Christ endures, because that's the truth. We know that the systems as we have it today are all going to be annihilated, and Christ will bring in his own kingdom. Also, we notice that they teach that the things of this world do not satisfy. Now, we know by that that there's always a hunger in the life of man, though he may be quite happy doing the things that he's doing. You know, years ago, I used to believe everything I heard, and I used to be told that the sinner wasn't happy. That's the biggest bunch of junk under high heaven. He's happy as a hog in a swill pail. He's right, but it doesn't satisfy like Christ, because there's something in here that's calling, see? And so you could use this as that type of appeal, and it's basically all right, but that's not the case of this scripture. The real understanding of this scripture is the warning to the bride against a divided heart. See, that's what really it's all about. It warns that we must not delude ourselves into thinking that we can have the world and Christ also, or that we can have Christ with the world tagging along. Now, here is a clear-cut decision offered by the Apostle Paul to the people that it's a once-for-all making up of the mind. If you go into the original Greek, you will find that there is a definitive structure or a promise or a word given to us. And that is, it's a once-for-all making up of the mind that certain things obtain and certain other things cannot obtain. And yet, it's always been, in this, especially this age, that the pastors have such trouble to convince the people that the world has no part with Christ. And it's one or the other. It's not Christ and the world tagging along. In other words, there is no place for both of them at one time in one place. See, it just isn't that way. And that place is the heart. There is not room for Christ and the world. There is no room for a division. There is no scripture that says the heart is divided. So you can have a compartment for Christ and a compartment for the world. Now, Calvary did not clear the way for such a conception. You trace the Bible all you want, and there is no place where Calvary made room for God and the world at the same time. You cannot find it. The atonement does not cover that. It does not say that somehow that we've been brought to a place where we can have both. There's no scripture for it. Now listen, there is no mediator that brings you into such a position. Now there's a lot of preaching that would suggest the mediator does that. In other words, that you can have the world in Christ, that you can sort of be a halfway sinner at the same time you're a saint. In other words, a drunk sober man or a black-white bird, there's no scripture for it. And yet, the atonement is preached as though it were true. Then you'll notice there is no mediator to bring you into that type of a kingdom, and there is no intercessor that guarantees to hold you. And yet, there's that type of preaching going on and that type of living going on. Now, that's all there is to it. It's a travesty against the Word of God. Now, let's go to the Scripture, and we'll see this clearly in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, there is no such thing as loving God as our Father if we already love the world. There's no such thing as a divided heart and a divided emotion. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father who is the Word. See? But it's of the world. And the world passes away in its pleasures thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, or he that's in that Word, see, will abide forever. Now there you have it.
two absolutely opposite kingdoms, two worlds, and nowhere are they near alike. They're absolutely opposite. Totally different one from the other. Now, let's stop a minute here and go back to 1 Timothy 6, again, which we read. We can get our case all lined up so there's nobody challenging what is being said. Notice, in verses 9 and 10, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, pleasures, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That perdition is chaos. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now you'll notice that the word says they've erred from the faith. Therefore, Paul, in illustrating, is not talking about a man that doesn't know something about reality. This man is a believer, but he's not a real believer because somewhere his faith has become perverted and somewhere his faith has taken on an error. And that's what, why the prophet said, you come together to church not to fellowship but to be corrected. Corrected where? In the Word. So you'll understand what's true. Now, somewhere this man's faith took on error. Now, notice it doesn't say he denied faith in God. He doesn't even deny faith in God as his Savior. Because let's face it, real faith is based upon the premise that it's toward salvation. But this man got into error. That's what the Bible teaches us. He got away from the original revelation. And in so doing, he did not deny faith in God. See? You can't unchristianize him. But notice verse 7. We brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out into the next world. See? Paul's talking about worlds or kingdoms. See? Now, you can take nothing into the next world, which is God's world, because Satan and everything he's got is going to be annihilated. See? So there's a world here that you can't transfer to the next. And there's also a world here that comes into existence and continues to eternity. Now here's where your division is. And what the warning is, don't ever get them mixed. See? As the angel told Brother Branham, don't you get your line all mixed up in times like these. But people get mixed up, and they don't realize the strength of what was taught by the prophet, what I'm trying to get across this morning. Now, we brought nothing into this world. We're not going to carry any out of it. But this world here is peculiarly adapted to mankind, and at the same time, it poses his greatest problem. And he's got to leave this world and the things of this world for the things of God. Now, then, here is Paul telling us that here is a believer who tried to get a foot in each kingdom. Now, you can't do it. Calvary doesn't make any room for it. The mediator didn't make any room to get you in. The intercessor doesn't make any provision to hold in with a foot in each kingdom. See? This believer thought he could have Christ in the world too, but it didn't work. And if he was a real believer, I trust he learned by experience that it didn't work, and he got lined up, and believe me, he did if he's a real believer. Now, if he was really an unbeliever and not a real believer, if he didn't have the true revelation, he'll lose out. But he won't know until it's too late. See, now we're going to thrust a little deeper to find out exactly what this world influence is. And here's where I say, once you see this message, that's all you ever will see. And you begin to wonder if you're slanting Scripture, but you're not. So just, I'm warning you, see, so just stay with it. Now, what was there in this earthly kingdom that deluded him from reality. Now we're going to go back to 1 John again. 15 verse. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, let's see what this world is. Because if you're going to get your thoughts right, you're going to have to follow Scripture to know whether you're guessing and getting a wrong conclusion or whether you're really right. Now, see, that's the reason we got to take subject by subject. That's why there has to be something in the land that's precept upon precept, line upon line, and word upon word.
Amen.
If you don't get that far, you're still guessing. Now, we go to 1 John the 4th chapter, and we're going to read verses 4 to 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Not it, but them. See? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, them. They are of the world. Therefore they speak, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, not of the world. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God but of the world won't hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, or what is working in people and in us particularly. See? What's the motivation? Now, who is he talking about? Let's pin it down further. Verses 1 to 3 of the same chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is already in the world. Now, you can see right from this, without any deep teaching, that the very life of the world, or what the world lives on, what the world goes on, what it makes it tick, why it is what it is. See, because there's got to be something behind the manifestation. There's got to be something behind the substance. Something brought that substance into being. As the scripture said, all things that were made by God, and there's nothing seen that wasn't made by God. Now that's creation. Now, there's something going on today, and it's been going on for 2,000 years in two worlds, of a bride, a real believer, and a church that's not real believers. Now, what is the lifeblood or the life stream of the world? See? Now, follow me, please. Be very careful, because I'm going to be honest with you. When I get my messages, I start writing. When I'm finished writing, I preach. And I might have to preach that same sermon 3, 4 to 6 times for me to know what I'm really saying myself. Now that sounds awful funny, but it's the awful truth. I'm not preaching anything hard, but for the thing to dawn on you is what counts, because the thinking is so far from the Spirit because of too many years of wrong teaching. Now I've just read it, so get it. What is it that makes the world tick? Why is this world the way it is? What is the warning that God gives us? See, the acid test of where our feet are. Solid in the kingdom, or we're still trying to get by with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And what is this world all about? See, you follow me now? I just read it here. What the world is all about is simply it got off and stays off the Word. Now that's what it's all about. Now I know your minds are just whirling right now. That's okay. I can take you out of that spin. Because I got the scripture to do it, see? What the world lives on, or what the world goes on, is a false doctrine a perverted word that begins by denying the revealed word and can end up in a human philosophy that even denies God. Now let me tell you, friend, because here's where you're stumbling. I know perfectly where you're stumbling. Because it's hard for the mind to reach out and say, well, that's atheistic. That's something different. You have got to be a million miles off the truth. Listen to me. You're so used to dealing in threes, and so am I, that it's hard to get this. The Bible said the Jew, the Gentile, the Church of God, right? There are three manifestations of God, a Father, and a Son, and a Holy Spirit. But you show me where there's three spirits. There's only two. There's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. And everything is either truth or it's error, divided. And I don't care if you call it philosophy or atheism or perversion or hogwash, which is my privilege. See? There's two. Because the communists operate a certain way, and why? Because they're off of that word, and that's the world. They're not two, three spirits, they're two. I don't care if you get 15 million manifestations. See? That's why I said a little while ago, it looks like I'm slamming the Bible to this message. You ask a Nazarene what the world is, and he'll give you all the manifestations. But he's never going to come down with what the real reality is. It's off that word, away from the word of God. That's why the Antichrist system at the end time takes in every single person, whether he knows it or not. And let's face it, they don't know it. They're going to be tearing down the highway screaming, glory to God, hallelujah, isn't this the kingdom? When you can get a fellow like David Duplessis stand up, and I've got his article right home on my desk, and tell the people what he did, that the charismatic movement, Pentecost, tongues, what have you, getting into the Roman Catholic Church would bring all the rest of the churches back to Jesus Christ. Yeah. 100,000 preachers today are in the ecumenical council, and a minimum of 10,000 speak in tongues. And they don't even know that that's the world. And they'll look down the road and tell you, and I'll tell you what Antichrist is. They'll tell you it's communism. When the word anti does not mean against, that's the whole trouble with perverting the language of the day. It's only against because it's instead of. See? That's the trouble. It's being off of that word. Now let's go to Romans and prove it to you. The first chapter, beginning at verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Believeth what? Correctly. Not incorrectly. See? I can prove it. While the apostle said, if we all say that God raised up Jesus and God raised him not, and then we're making God a liar, we're liars. There's nothing in us that's going to amount to a hill of beans. Now he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that's the original. That's the truth. That's the way it was back in the garden. That's the way it was in every age when the word was given. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they have their own pleasures and ideas concerning it, just like Canaan do it. And they're religious, they worship, and even take the Bible. Now, later on, they throw the Bible down the drain. Now, watch how it's done. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. See? Now, that's just what I told you a while ago. What does it mean by that? Creation proves there's a God. Russia's right now trying to prove that what we call gods are the flying saucers that came down. You got a bunch of idiots that believe that. And I know it's going around to a place where where they really believe that there's supposed to be little men come out of those flying saucers. Well, you say, what would you do if a flying saucer came down and two little green men jumped out? I'd say, you got here too late. I done heard the prophet.
Amen.
You care 2 cents for such nuts.
Amen.
See? Now, being understood by the things that are made. Who is? There's understanding, there's the God. The eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse. So it boils right down, religion or non-religion, there's a God and there's a word for it.
Amen.
The minute you turn against that word, you're finished.
Amen.
The minute you twist that word, you're finished. See? Because what is the truth of God? It's a revelation. You say, that leaves the door open. All right, it leaves the door open. I can't help it. Not going to twist anything I believe to suit anybody else's ideas. I quit doing that years ago. Yes, sir, I've got on God's anvil, and I'm no longer a corkscrew. Yeah, you can pull a lot of things out of the Word if you're a corkscrew. But if He cuts you down to wear your sword, you're in better shape. ever try to whack a little bit of the corkscrew? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasoning. That doesn't just mean puffed up. It means they're out of the picture. It didn't do them a bit of good. Once the reasoning took over, they were shot. It was all finished.
Amen.
See? There wasn't a hope left. No, sir, nothing. Now, and their wicked, their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. They said there's no God. Some changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Listen, they're making an image right now. How? Through their own ideas of the Word. See? They have 4-footed these creeping things. They've got a little bit smarter, they use images. Therefore, God gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own body between themselves. Who changed the truth of God for the lie? And worship and serve the Creator, the creature. Or serve a form of religion in creation. Putting God outside the picture. Now, you tell me the communists don't do that, and I'll tell you you're wrong, because they do. And furthermore, let's face it, the communists are in a bare minority of hardly 4% of those hundreds of millions, and the rest of them have some form of ideology, which is apart from it, which means there's a clue or an inkling there is a God. You couldn't possibly harness about 400 to 600, of course, there's more than that when you count all of Asia, literally a couple of billion people to a theory there's no God. You couldn't do it. Because man instinctively reaches out somewhere.
Amen.
Now there's your picture. Now, keeping this in mind, we'll go a little deeper. We go to John 17. That's the book of John. Chapter 17. 14 to 17. I have given them thy word, and that did it. The world hated them. Until that time, they were just a bunch of freaks. Now, you could call them Jesus freaks if you just took the right meaning out of it this morning. Nobody, put any import to them. They just let them ride around, so to speak, just let them go. But once they got that word, brother, then the world hated them. Because they are not of the world. And what did John say, the one that wrote this? Describing by revelation in the epistle what's here as a scribe? He said, the world doesn't say the same things we say. Now that's blanket coverage. That's the Jews, that's the Gentile, that's the whole thing. I don't care if they're worshiping Mars, I don't care if they're worshiping Diana, I don't care what they're doing, they don't say what we say. So when they don't say what we say, they're world and we're bride. Now, that's certainly a cutting situation, but I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And he said, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Why? Because he had the word.
Amen.
See? And he was the word. I pray not you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Notice the double emphasis, says it twice. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Notice, the bride has the word. Hated by the world. Yet they are in the world, though they're not of it. See? They are in the world, but not of the world. They are not of the wrong word or the wrong seed. Because that's what makes the world is the wrong word. Now, if they had the right word, which one day will be the complete body of truth of all ages inheriting it. See? Now, this clears up the mystery of Matthew 13, 31 to 32. Another parable put forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in the field, in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds when it's grown, is greatest among the herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now here's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. The mustard seed, faith, or original faith, which Brother Brant said couldn't be hybridized, it grows until its branches cover the earth. What branches? Grafted in branches. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, communism, atheism, sociology, and psychology, and philosophy. Every single one. See, because it was planted originally. Now, let's go and look at the book of Revelation to prove it. Chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain in the foundation of the world. Now, who is that? Chapter 13 is America. And who opened the door to any concept of God, whatever? United Nations did. And then building the image of the beast, which is a world system, which will be taken over by Rome, as the Bible said, America does it. And she doesn't even know that she's building an antichrist system, a religious system unto the beast. She doesn't know it, but she's already done it. I believe they'll even produce the Pope that's going to head up the world organization and could well be the antichrist himself. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What is it? The worldwide religious system. And when you come to the world, it's anything off of that word. Now, birds of feather flock together. And they can't help it because why? They have come up out of the original. Now notice, there is nothing wrong with mustard seed light. It goes on to the end. But it's the perverted word branches living off the life of the tree that's wrong. You say, how is it living off the life of the tree? It's simple, because Lamb life was planted here first, and this world, and all the future kingdoms were made for it. And they're living off of that light given to us. You follow? Original life done the whole thing. And something got put into it. And the whole thing got messed up by being off of that word, period. But it doesn't have life of itself. Notice what I read in Revelation. The life of the Lamb. It's the life of the mustard seed. It's the life of the Word. It's eternal life. It's Christ's life. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's in the world. It owns the world. Everything belongs to it. But the branches took it over. When Adam and Eve sold out, they gave it to the devil. See? Now, they're in it, but they're not of it. Two separate systems. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. Simple as ABC. One is word, one is perverted. Somehow, somewhere, doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's not the original revealed word of the hour, it is not of God. Now you go down and find it in Russia. Not of God. Go to Africa. You can't find it. Not of God. Go to Europe. Can't find it. Not of God. Come to America. Can't find it. Not of God. See? Why? Because it hasn't got that word. See, there's your earmark and there's your life. See? Now, It's a perverted word branch, just living off the life of the tree that's wrong. See? God will go along with this permissiveness until all the seed is in, the harvest. Now listen to me. Brother Branham had a vision. He was up in Mishawaka. Bunch of Pentecostals up there, one of the people, and it's just wonderful. Some were speaking in tongues, and others were speaking in tongues, and some weren't. And those who were speaking in tongues, somewhat more than anybody else, he had to give a little old test which he has in the spirit, and he found one man had a black-headed wife, had babies by her, but he's married to blonde. And he said, if I ever saw a hypocrite. See? All right, he goes home. He puzzles and puzzles and puzzles. What in the world happened anyway? And what does God do? God gives him a vision. And in this vision, he saw what? A sower sowed, right, in white. And then he saw a man in black sneak up behind and sow. See? Now, but he said that was the sixth chapter of Hebrews, not Matthew 13. Now, I got an idea. Just about every single person sitting here, when Brother Branham told that story, your mind flashed back to Matthew 13, where a sower went forth to sow, and an enemy sowed, right? But you're wrong. He never said that. He took it right to Hebrews 6. And in Hebrews 6, it's the end time, once for all message, the true word of God sown. Now what happens? Now listen, in the same field, somebody comes right behind, and what's he do? He sows a perverted seed. Where in the name of common sense did he get it? Oh, you say, well, he went making his own ideas. How naive can you get? He took the prophet's ideas and perverted it and sowed it. I wonder if we got so many isms amongst us. Deity, this and that and everything else under high heaven. It always was that way. Satan didn't take something that he sowed on himself and said, well, I think I'll have my own theology. Oh, he said theology, that means God. I did it again. You can't get away from God. He never made up some new boss, some new thing. He went right to the Word and said, yea, hath not God said. What was the sown? Seed that he sowed. Perverted word. You got the same thing that brands it. One's of the world and one's not of the world. Because everything in this world, God already made. I don't care how you see it, how you use it, it's something God made. And every sin is nothing but a perversion. See? Every single thing is there. Now, let's go back. Again to 1 John, 2nd chapter. Looking to this world. The two kingdoms. 16th verse. For all that's in the world. All that's there. Flesh. The eye. The pride of life is not of the Father, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. See, all things were made by Him. And who is He? The Word became flesh. The Father dwelt among us. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here is the Word. These things are not of the Word. What Word? God, the revealed Word. Because He is the Word. See? Now don't tell me He didn't make everything to mishandle, because He did. But it's a mishandling of the whole thing. Now, compare this to Genesis, the 3rd chapter and verse 6. You got the very same thing in the beginning that happened to poor old Eve over here. The woman saw the tree was good for food. Alright? Lust of the flesh. Flesh in the eye. Lust of the eye. A tree desired to make one wise. Pride of life. See? She took of it. See, now remember, she wasn't in the original creation. Now you couldn't fool Adam here, but you could fool Eve here. And that's where always that which is not bride, but is the desolated one, she will always pick up the wrong thing. Because she's not in the original creation. See, bride was always in the original. Why? Because we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. See? Now, Satan, by the clever serpent, got Eve off the Word. See? But notice, the original life was lamb life. It was, because God breathed into him the breath of lives. And he became not a soul now, but a living soul. Now what happened? We have the light that God created in that serpent, mixing and now perverts. Why? Because both came from the Word. But notice, in Adam's case, it was spoken seed word. The other was not spoken seed word. It was derivative. And by that I mean, nature must depend upon mankind. When mankind gets restored, nature gets restored. And the animals depended on man. They all depend. Why? Because it was simply as an ordained word. But it wasn't Christ the Word. And when you get an ordained word, listen, even an ordained word fused with a spoken word, you're going to get a perversion. Now just take that back to your Bible. That's why you cannot relate a scripture, even to a scripture, unless that scripture belongs with that scripture. See? Just like Satan said, cast yourself down as written. If your angels will bear thee up. And he said, it's also written. Don't you dare mismatch that scripture. See? Why? Because spoken word is the word in life in the individual, but an ordained word can only be that spoken word life of the season that God gives it. And it passes away, it's gone. Now reach back in your Old Testament, have a Sabbath day down here and a Feast of the Trumpets over here and that hogwashing nonsense Armstrong teaches. See? Oh, he wouldn't understand that. Just forget it. That's for you. Because you was bride. Got nothing to do with man like that over there, see? Now, notice that John said, they went out from us. See? And notice, Cain went out from Nod. Why? Because the showdown came over the Word. Now, here's Adam and Eve. Couple of poor kids, not serpent seed, children of God. They got a problem. Sold down the river by Satan. But they still have the ability to go to the tree of life under the right conditions at the right time, which is immortality. We're coming to that tree. That's off the subject, though. See? God made a way for them. But you see, the human race has been divided into two facets only. And within those facets, you could have many other facets. But it's Word, anti-Word, or Christ versus the world. Two kingdoms. Rome comes along and has three. Purgatory. Hogwash. Why, the whole stinking mess, if there were a purgatory, would be annihilated. Because you got to get back to the original. He said, since you can take nothing out of this world, as you brought nothing in, why? And because it's world that's going to go. Even your flesh has got to go. It's got to be changed. Even standing here in the rapture, your flesh has got to change. You can't take this same flesh with you. That old songwriter is right. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise. Why? Because this flesh has got to become word. So it's got to be changed. That's why it'll go. Now, notice, as I keep bringing out to you, in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the further proof of what we're talking about here. Now, I'm jealous over you that God be jealous. That's verse 2. I've espoused you to one husband. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your mind. See? What is the mind? As Brother Branham said, it's a womb. It's an open door. It's a facility that God's given that correlates within us those avenues of the senses that are open to receiving something whereby we can do something else. Now, without that mind, whatever comes by the senses wouldn't mean a thing. See? Now we know that hearing comes by the senses. Seeing comes by senses. And out of the Spirit of God, the Word of God correlates in our minds by the means that God has established normally to come, and we receive revelation. you can get the wrong revelation, of course, just like he did. Now, the minds became corrupted. Now, what's in the mind? Thoughts are in the mind. Why do thoughts arise in your heart? It's in the mind. See? Why is something in there? Well, now, Paul says here, I'm afraid you're going to get the wrong thing. See? It says Christ is going to be preached wrong. Another gospel, see? Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I think it's getting pretty hot in here. I don't know about you. You'll be nodding on me pretty soon. I'll be sweating. You'll be sleeping. That isn't going to do us any good at all. If you chop her down, I'll be happy. You might not be so happy, but take care of me today, and I'll take care of you later. All right. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. What's he saying here? I never came with a bunch of things that would please you that you could even understand. Why should I preach plumb over your head? And some I didn't. Preach right to men's hearts. Now you can preach over men's heads and hit the heart if it's by the Holy Ghost. And it should be. Now, he says in the third verse, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Why? Verses 12 to 14. Now you have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know that the things are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual, or the word of God in its season. And applicable to you. Now you see, he never got it applied that way. How did she get it applied? Look, it's nice. It's good. It feels good. It'll line up with the Word of God. And it destroyed her. See? What was it? Her faith was a waste original, which faith was, don't touch it or you die. Now, you got the same thing in this worldly kingdom here. Don't touch or you die. Now, here we see the original Word, perverted by the changing of the Word. And it grows up to the end. See what's wrong with people. They say, well, they didn't have the Bible back there. Don't you kid me, they didn't have it. We're just getting the drippings by the epistles as far as I'm concerned. How'd you like to be there when it's preached? They had the living apostle stand there, and a fellow like Paul come by. And just take that, maybe stay there in your city for 6 months, and every single night you come out, or as many nights as you can, that we're just going forth, going forth, going forth. And him catching the people's spirit to break it down and explain it. You talk about some meeting. They never had nothing like that from the beginning of time till this end time. And even then, Brother Brown's message was not to cover the complete thing in the sense that it's just got to be for this hour. Things like John wrote, he had to leave over. Said, that's for the tribulation. Forget it. See? Now, it goes to the end. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 2 to 8. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so on. Traitors, high-minded. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, leading captive silly women, Miss Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, and so on, laden with sin, led away with divers lust. What lust? See, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the lust of human wisdom, to be somebody. See? To know something. They go out licking your chops, literally stirping. Like ladder rain, they're going to teach you something new. Boy, don't get that ladder rain spirit on you. That's the closest thing there is to the real thing, therefore it's the most wrong. Brother Branham said at the end time is going to be honed right down to a razor blade. See? Yeah, do you know that old question, how many angels can dance on the tip of a needle? You're getting down to it to this age. How many can dance on the edge of that razor? It's all right. You take it away, it's meant, and you'll see what I'm getting at. Cutting down mighty fine. High heel slippers won't make it. Not suggesting a walk. See, that's why you never make it walking that thin, narrow line. Now, it goes to the end. It's what does it say about them? With this condition, they're ever learning. And there is no limit to learning what the eye can see. See? That's right. And what you can feel out here in nature, you can take a person and endow them, if you're crazy enough, and it seems America is crazy enough, to examine the life, to examine the structure of a butterfly wing. And you might spend two lifetimes in analyzing it. You realize that knowledge has come to such a place, by, I think that is by 1980, the actual knowledge of this world is going to double every 6 months. Oh, stuff you and I'll never use. Butterfly wings, the love life of a toad and all that. Yeah, that's right. $246,000 for love life of the African toad. Yeah. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. Just get a hold of some approximator. He's the best man in America, I think, right now. Liberal. I can't stand liberals, but let's face it, at least he's got some brains. He exposes all that stuff. At least one guy. The president goes skiing. I'm against skiing, but let's face it, brother, sister, we're at the end. There's nobody gives a hoot, see, because they think it's going to go on. And those who try to give a hoot are doing the wrong thing, like your environmental controls. 2,500 men are now going to lose their jobs in Gary. That's right, because they're going to close down 12 big ovens up there. Or pay a fine of $2,000 a day, and steel company says, forget it, close it down. That's brains. Well, maybe it's easier to starve than smell small. I disagree. We're at the end of the road. I don't care how smart you are. He said, look at it. It's clear, look at it. See, get something out of this looking. See, now he said, here, it's good to eat. Now he said, let's have some satisfaction. Social Security. Huh. By 1980, it'll be $30 trillion in debt. Where's the money coming from? See? What are you going to feed it on? Smart? What good's it done? Your stupid colleges. And you haven't even got a guy that can fix the toaster. I'm telling you, this is what the world is right here. They're just going for it, and turning down the Word of God, which could have just saved the whole thing simply. See? And where does it all come from? Getting away from the Word. That's why if we ever get back to the Word, we're going to walk right into the temple of Almighty God, the millennium. I call it the temple because there'll be no sin, no nothing, except worshiping God in creation the way it was. See? Now listen. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge. It doesn't come that way. I don't care how smart a man gets, how clever this universe gets, it still belongs to the devil and it's still going to die. Back 100 years ago, they had a chance. They could live to be 900 years old. Today we're doing good if we can drag to 70. I was sure I'd be gone when I was 50, and 10 years past that, but I'm sure I'm going to be gone by I'm 70. There's got to be grace along the way somewhere, and there sure is. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Moses what? The word giver. So, there'll be a conspiracy to withstand the word. And it's always been the same, and that's what's the trouble right today. The world's anti-word, or just forget the word, and let's go to philosophy. And it's still against the word, because the word has warned about it. Now do you see your picture this morning then? What it's all about. Two kingdoms. One kingdom is God, Word identified. One kingdom is Antichrist or devil against the Word in any shape or form. See? Now you get your picture why communism is all part of it. See? They say there's no God. That doesn't let them out. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Got a word in it already. The Bible says that's how it takes place. Corrupt religion comes to the place where a man says, forget it. Now, see, if you didn't know better and a few things that you know, don't tell me that some of you today wouldn't be ready to walk off and say, forget it. We've even seen the best go haywire. But you see, something's going to hold you steady there. That's that old type post, the Word, because you finally come to the place where you finally know what I'm preaching, what Brother Branham taught us, true spirit. It's been known for 2,000 years and nobody caught it. Everybody went around, face the 20th century, and they're trying to judge the Word by the Spirit and say, oh, what a dead meat. Oh, yeah, I preached out here in Tucson.
many years ago. And a fellow from Louisiana. Of course, it's the great state of Texas. That doesn't take you in, but it takes Louisiana in. This fellow was out there, and he heard me preach. And he's been a buddy of Brother Brown's for years, hunting fish and everything else. Brother Brown preached at church. It's not hard to figure out who I'm talking about. He went out there, and he said, well, the fellow said, what do you think of Vail's preaching? Well, he said he gave an overkill. That's all he could think was. Because I kept belaboring the point, and belaboring the point. But he saw as much of the prophet as I did. He had more chance than I did. And he even said, I don't believe in Elijah, John the Baptist. But if there was an Elijah, I believe it would be he. But I don't care 2 cents about John being the Elijah today. Why? Because it doesn't pertain to me. I can't go back and identify myself with that one and that one. I got identified today. See? Where I'm comparing spiritual and physical. I'm right back in the devil trap, see? Now, never learning. I mean ever learning. And never coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, why? Because they withstand the word bringer. Now, listen. Your Bible, see, summed up the complete revelation of God for all ages concerning His kingdom, bride and non-bride, when Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, you mean to tell me we're not God's people? He said, that's right. He said, well, what God are you talking about, you idiot? Why, he said, I'm talking about the great Jehovah God that met me in a pillar of fire. He said, hogwash. What do you mean fire? He said, I've seen fire dance up and down too, he said. Why, he said, I call my magicians in. He said, it's tremendous. Moses said, well, it's to tell you call your magicians in. Moses, you know, he's a pretty good fellow, but he just had one revelation, a few things to go on. He didn't have it all yet. He just thought he had. See, just thought he had. So Moses said, okay, call the boys in. What boys you have? Well, he said, you know your old pals, Janice and Jams, you grew up with them. Oh, he said, those two should bring him in. Moses threw down his stick and went in the snake, and they said, hey, he said, that's pretty good. And they said, well, Moses can do, we can do better. So two threw down and said, wham, two serpents. So Moses' servant ate up their serpents. They said, hey, that's a difference. See? They could do a lot of these. Make no mistake about it. See? But what is it? A showdown. And God didn't care 2 cents what went on down there in Corinth, if there was a Corinth. Or Ephesus, there was an Ephesus. The showdown was that day before Pharaoh, before the whole world. See? So we get our picture. Right today, there are two kingdoms. What kingdom are you in? Now, you cannot have a foot in anti-word and a foot in the word and make it. There's no provision for it. You can't have any place in the world out here and any place in this kingdom. It's got to be both feet in either one. Now, I don't see too many fence sitters anymore, but I do see a few that don't seem to understand this message as get in or get out. No, let's not put it that way. Get in or you are out. Because I put you on a neutral ground and there's no such animal. I'd be destroying my whole sermon on that one statement if I hadn't caught it. I mean it, because you are in the world, but you're not of it. See? There's your line of demarcation. Now, in order to progress where we can apply what we've been talking about, this fellow that tried to put a foot in both kingdoms, we're going to go to 1 Timothy 6. Again, 6 to 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing in the world. It's very certain we're going to carry nothing out. Notice the word carry it out. Well, the Egyptians had a way with them. The guy couldn't carry it out, so they thought they'd carry it for him. Didn't work. The Chinese knew the dead man couldn't carry the food, so they carried it for him. That didn't work either. And of course, we knew that our corpses couldn't carry the flour, so we carried it for him. That didn't do him any good either. Notice how Paul puts it. He said, come in the world. Now he said, you're going out. You brought nothing, you take nothing. Amen. See, that lays you down pretty good. The only thing you can take out is what's gone. So what are you? Word or anti-word? Pervert or convert? That's right, pervert or convert. A real converted man full of the Holy Ghost. Now, having food and raiment, be content. They will be rich. They will be rich. Fall into temptation, snares, hurtful lust, harmful. drowning in their destruction and chaos. Notice that's chaos. For the love of money is root of all evil, which while men covet after, they urge in the faith, pierce themselves through many sorrows. But in other words, trying to be somebody, trying to make a gain, trying to get up there. Notice, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Behold eternal life, and keep on professing. Now notice in there, there's two men described. One fellow that's off the word, but thinks he can have a foot in each kingdom. The other fellow goes all the way. See? In other words, there's a right way and a wrong way showing us in this contrast. So, this scripture that I read this morning is what I said it was. It's not about the sinner. It's a right way and a wrong way of growing up into the kingdom of God now that you're in it. If indeed you are in it. See? We've got some text showing us, by the way, as we go along. Now, the right way to progress into the kingdom, growing up, word upon word, piling word upon word, growing up in Christ. As Brother Branham said, you can be born of the kingdom by the baptism with the Holy Ghost without sensation. But he also said, can a woman have a baby and not know it? Under sedation, she might not know the experience. But you better believe she'll know if there's a baby around when she comes out of the sedation. That kid's got to grow up. And he dies in it. Chaotic. Destroys himself. Like the Bible mentions, your soul life. He that sells out his soul life to God will get it back. But he that keeps it, maybe not even knowing he's doing it. See? Not knowing he's doing it. It's like in Gehenna, which is the city dump. A wasted life. Now here's two lives. Both have faith. Absolutely both have faith. One heard him, his the other didn't. Both have a profession. They absolutely profess to Jesus Christ. Both have a life. And they got fruit of sorts. Certainly, they're both going about a certain way to fulfill life. That's what I want you to get. They're both going about in a certain way to fulfill life. See? But one's wrong, and one is right. Now he said the first man was wrong, yet he had faith. He turned his faith loose. He's still on television. You can see them. For money to serve in the kingdom of God. Now, he said there's a certain way to serve in the kingdom, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to use the worldly method of counteracting the world through the world system to show them that God's God. They're sincere and honest, and don't you think they're not, Brother Sitcher. I know what I'm talking about. Because I could have been fooled the same way, and I was sincere and honest the best I could be. Now, this man got lots of money. But money is no criterion, because, as Brother Branham said, he makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Now, when did God say it took money for the kingdom? Now, you know, we all like that little old story about the colored preacher that now he said, bless God, you know, he said, the water's free. They said, amen. Praise God, it is. We believe that, Pastor. But he said, you know, it takes money to pipe the water. And they didn't get any amens. See? Now, see, we can use that old method. Give us the tools, we'll do the job. Well, that sounds good. Give us the tools, which means give us money, and we'll get the work done. But that's not what God said, see? Now, even today, we have men, and I'm thinking in terms of reality, not generalities. Now, I'm not making up an illustration, I'm telling you to. Of certain ones, or one, or more than one, who would say, handling large sums, I must be right, because, see, God hasn't stopped giving me the money. It's rolling in. Where's your Bible for it? I want to see one place where God said that he needed money for his kingdom. All he ever said was, the material things you use right and they perish the same as you are going to die. How can the eternal kingdom have anything to do with that which is perishable? the lives of the consecrated, sanctified men of the ages has always been to tell no man anything, but let God supply. Brother, I know, dear sweet brother, thought he'd write letters. He was advised by the brethren in this message, you write one letter for money, your throat's cut. It's a good thing, Jack, he didn't write his letters. Because he's going to have a job from keeping his throat cut anyway in this message, unless it goes right down with that word. I have tremendous faith in the people, not that they're cutthroats, but I mean he commits suicide by fooling with the people that I know in this message. Our people are not fooled, in general, I believe, about this money bit. Or how to progress in the kingdom and bring in sheaves and to be a benefit to those round about them by these methods which we see employed by some. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Very famous chapter because it's a prelude to Matthew 24 on the false anointed ones. But let's look at this, these thoughts here on the promotional gospel. Verse 21, not even to say, Lord, Lord, send the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name? Listen, it's a command. Forbid not prophesying. These people live it, they're going to be condemned. Said, have we not cast out devils? It's commanded to cast out devils. They'll be condemned. They have done wonderful works. It's commanded to do wonderful works. They're going to be condemned. He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. See, you that knew better and did it anyway. Church order. The word of God set before the people. See, promotional. It pleases the eye. It pleases the ear. Gifts on the floor. Brother Banner said, tongues plus interpretation is prophecy. I like what Brother Bob Brown did. He talked to one of those boys, and some of our men have not quite come to this place yet where they realize the word is the word. Now you just take it or you're wrong. And he said, Brother Bob, you preach a pretty tough gospel, because then if this preacher is off of his order, then he's in the world. Now, that's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. See, we proved what the prophet taught and showed you scripture by scripture what the world is, see, and what Christ is, and there's only two of them, not three. And there's not a no man's land. There's not a board fence to sit on. There's not a tight line to walk. There's a kingdom to be in. And the one kingdom's in the other kingdom. And the strange thing is the big kingdom is sucking the life from the little kingdom, which in truth is the big kingdom in a nutshell. See? And everything out here is only because of you and me, brother, sister, because he withhold as we withhold because of a certain thing going on called the bride. That's right. Everything's fit for destruction. That original life was there, then the rest began sucking off it. Never get that away from your mind. Two spirits only, not three.
Amen.
See? Just because that dirty word con isn't gotten there, they thought there was a third thing. So now they say, well, there is the ecumenical, and there is the conis, and there's hogwash. There's word and anti-word. There's bride and the rest of it.
Amen.
And the foolish virgin pays the price of death. The scripture says right here, chaos and destruction, because she misses the word. Brother Brown said there's only one difference between the bride and that foolish virgin, and that's the Holy Ghost. She's not fertilized here. She gets her fertilization later, but she misses the bride. Everything in Adam that perished is going to be made alive in Christ. See? Now just keep that in mind. It'll line up with your theology on election. Serpent seed and a few more things. You've got an answer there, whether you know you got one or not. Just keep that in mind. Now listen. He said right here, you're going to have this promotional spirit in the church taking from reality and perverting it. He doesn't deny the miracles and prophecy were in his name. But getting back to Brother Brown, tongues interpretation make prophecy, right? Brother Bob talked to a Pentecostal brother not long ago, and he said, say that they told him this truth, and the guy said, nothing doing. He said, we hear from God right in our church. Why, we just heard from God last week. And Brother Brown said, what did he say? He said, I forgot. He said, you heard from God last week and forgot. Now, let's make a little test. How many of us were Pentecostal at one time? Raise your hands. God, don't be afraid. Now, how many of us heard from God last week and forgot before the week was over, right? And did we hear from God? Hogwash. Or if we did, what kind of hogwash were we? What were we? Well, I heard there, thus saith the Lord, and this and that, sure. And we grinned, but we knew it wasn't going to come to pass with just some more thing. We heard from God, did we? Now, there were times we really heard from God because it did come to pass. But I'll tell you something, brother, sister, was very unusual. See, no doubt they're soul winners, too. This will bring in souls. Over here in the book of Galatians, one of my favorite little thoughts, in the 27th verse of the 4th chapter, it said, rejoice, barren that beareth not. That's Sarah. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. Now, you'll think that this here is so written, and it is strange. Why should you break forth and cry and, you know, sound like a good time? Then it says, the desolate hath more children than she which had the husband. Sarah had the husband. Hagar didn't have the husband, but she was prolific and Sarah wasn't. Now it says, break forth and cry, you minority, and rejoice that you are in the minority, that you are hated. You do look like the pervert in their eyes, but you're not. You're the real thing.
Amen.
See? And everybody looks out here and says, see this big church, hogwash. You get a big church here, I'll even come less often. Why, man alive, it's the twos, the threes, and the fours. Well, two or three are gathered in my name, they're not 200 and 300. Not that they couldn't be. 5,000 joined themselves one time. The rest stood outside. They'd like to get in, but they didn't. They couldn't make it. See? But notice the talk. See? And when you do grow, and people come flocking in, what does it do? Just more heartache and trouble.
Amen.
Bigger the barn, the more cattle. The more cattle, the bigger the shovel. But the world doesn't believe it. 1 million more in 44. Millions not living will never die. What are you people anyway? Who believes this message? Yeah. Well, thank God. Thank God. Animals litter, not people. See? The penalty of sin was multiplication. Then the fruit of righteousness, my brother and sister, is not multiplication. It's very few. Few there be that find it. See? But oh, boasting in all the souls. Not remembering that the word of God sets forth in Matthew 24:24 that men are deceived by signs and wonders and gifts. And Psalm 68:18 says that God gave the bride a ministry, but the rebellious who are off the word, he gave them gifts. See? You got a division right there. Now, you notice now talking, you see, that these two men want to be right. They want to go up, they want a good church. Because remember, Timothy, the man of God, is the pastor. Now, Paul said, these two boys are pictures, a couple of preachers. They're examples of the flock. One fellow was determined to get ahead. And he sought for money. He sought for gifts and miracles out of place. He sought to enlarge his crowd. And he no doubt sought to be a very fine person, too. Now, he didn't care, really. He let down the bars in some points. Maybe he would come along and say, well, who needs church order exactly? And I guess it's all right if a man's wife cuts her hair, he can divorce and marry somebody else. Oh, you got that going abroad, too. I get letters all the time. Brother Branham said, if your wife cuts her hair, she's not under subjection. She dishonors the head. And so, therefore, you ought to divorce her. You go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Why did yours get stopped up when Brother Branham said, but you made a vow? Oh, I didn't hear that, Brother Dan. No, of course you didn't, you lumphead. You didn't want to hear it. You all loused up to think you can get some little chick down the street. Church it.
Amen.
You men talk to me sometime. I'll give you some advice. Bless God, make your hair stand in.
Amen.
You're so far off what you know to be the truth, be pitiable. You divorce her, you never marry. And if you do, I'll tell you what the prophet said to a case down in Georgia, tried the same thing. And he said, let me put it this way, that renegade marries your daughter. He will never go to heaven. She will never go to heaven. Any children have will never go to heaven. Now, where are they going to go except to hell? It's okay. Let's build a church, though. It's all right. We'll let all these things go. Women snip your hair. A few bangs won't hurt. You'd better put the gun to your head and bang your head off, too. Yeah, cut your hair. Go. I want to see where the Bible said cut one snip off. I like what Brother Branham said about that pant edition, too. Woman said, well, bless God, Brother Branham, I don't wear shorts. I wear slacks. He said, that's worse. So how can it be worse? Because God's word said so.
Amen.
A woman's not an abomination because she takes her clothes off. Find the Bible. She's a whore. And whores can get saved. You put slacks on, you're an abomination. Show me where an abomination got saved.
Amen.
Then curse from the beginning. Huh? Not yelling at you. But listen, the same spirit out there in the world can creep amongst us and say, let this go and let that go.
Yeah.
You won't let anything go. He goes right to the word. Stay with that word. So what does it matter? We're getting results, aren't we? See? Now, but the Bible says you cannot have Christ in the world, too.
Amen.
You can't have Christ in a perverted word. It is Christ all the way, which is revealed word. There is today an actual Christ-seedless church. There is a Christ-seedless church. And there is a Christ-seed church. And the Christ seed church is in the midst of the Christ seedless church. See? And she's getting her life from the seeded church, and she's trying to pervert the very seed that she's getting her life from. You talk about a diabolical, hypocritical situation. And then you wonder, I can see why nobody's gotten used to the devil and his crowd. See? They have the gift, but they don't have the giver. Now, we're seeing our picture. Two men tried to do the same thing, but one was in the wrong way. One fellow said, I can have my feet in the world, and I can have them in Christ too. And Paul said, Timothy, don't you fall for it. I don't care how good a thing looks. Like I got a buddy. I can say this behind his back, because he'd be embarrassed. I went in his pulpit and he was there. But if I'm home sometime when Ray Bingham's not home, I'll say it when he's not there. But listen, Ray Bingham does not project with charisma over the pulpit. He hasn't got. Now, he's a nice fella. He doesn't come across. See? He's not a hail fellow well met. See? He's not one of those guys that is going to be like a leader. Let me tell you something. He doesn't have human charisma, a spirit that goes out. But he's got the spirit of Christ that does the right thing at the right time, and he'll die doing it in spite of anybody. And the church doesn't get past his nose. What he's going to have is going to want that word, that they're not going to want anything. You bet. Now, I like to be able to testify about a fellow like that. Because there's too much charisma. And I'm going to tell you, pretty soon charisma might be amongst us. See? No, it will be. I haven't got time to preach that one. I'm just working on that anyway. But don't worry. If you got a hound dog nose, you can smell what hound dogs smell. See? If you ain't got a hound dog's nose, you never smell it. I'm trying to tell you, fat, if you ain't haven't got a nose for what's in this word here and what's coming down that road, you can go see it anyway. But you can smell it coming because you know. See? Now, we're going to draw some conclusions now. Because we've seen a man that tried to put his feet into both places. And he'll take the word of God. He'll come up looking good. See? But it won't work. Now, we're going to talk about you and me so we can apply this thing next. Oh, maybe, I don't know, how we got it? 20 minutes or so? 10? Who cares? I'll see how fast I can go through it. We're going to go to John chapter 7 now in the Gospel. Here. In the last day, that's your day and mine, The great feast day, the wedding supper's right around the corner. Brother Branham said this is manifestation age, then it's resurrection age, and then it's bridal supper age. We're moving on. So this is the last day and the feast day. And Jesus stood, got off that mercy seat and cried. If any man thirst, let him come to the outside of that door. Now there's your cry going forth. Come and drink. Get away from that whore food you've been eating. That polluted stuff you call the Word of God. Come to me and drink. What is that? That's water. Water of life. What is it? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said and been vindicated to say. Not as you got it figured out. Not as I got it figured out. I'm ecumenical. And there is a better group inside of her. And there is a covenant. Hogwash. There's two spirits. One's truth and one's error. And what is an error? Off of the truth. Then there's got to be an original to have an error. Right? Certainly. Word and messed up word. Or rejected word. Or denied word. Or philosophy. I don't care what you call it. All things were made by that word and all things consist by that word. Everything is word, 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 word. You know, they hated Brother Branham's. Don't worry. They didn't like him for that. I liked it. I just wish you could have understood more of it. He that believeth on me as the Scripture has said, vindicated, out of his belly shall flow those rivers of living water. But this spake he, the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let me tell you flat, Christ was glorified at this end time in that word. Brother Branham could stand there like Jesus, and Jesus would say, Lord, have you glorified me? Father, is it manifested? A thunder come out of heaven. That man go to the pulpit and say, I don't know if you'll come. We'll ask him to come. And then he'd say, Father, will you come? He's here. Saw that word glorified. See? Saw that word crucified. Well, let me tell you, my own interpretation, I don't believe that word is yet thoroughly crucified. I believe it's just going through a trial. He said, Brother Branham said so. I don't care what he said. I got my own thinking on what he said. And my own thinking on what he said is the world, the church that did it. They turned him down. But there are people who say they do believe it. And they're out there to kill the word. Oh, I don't understand this thing at all. It hasn't been thoroughly killed yet. Don't worry, it's going to be. This fellow said, oh, you can speak in tongues, can you? Do it under your breath. Out there, see? This fellow said it's okay to do so-and-so and marrying, divorce, and all that nonsense. Yeah, a lot of things people say the prophet didn't say. They sure. You know what? They don't want to stick with it. Now out of his belly shall flow what? That word. Living spirit word is going to flow. And now here we're called to Christ to come and get refreshed. Refresh ourselves upon Christ, the living word inside of us. As Brother Branham once said, let's pray to the Christ inside of us. See, let's go to that word inside of us. See, call to eat and drink that word until the reality of the word is produced in us. See, in other words, it becomes our life. In other words, if God writes this word upon my head here, my mind, and on my heart, I am that word. And then if I am that word's got to come somehow out of me. Not going to be how man judges, but how the word sets it up too, see? Because if you're going to judge this word, or take Brother Branham and judge him according to what you and I think about this word, and then he fails. But I'll say this, if you take and judge Jesus according to what the people thought in his day about the word, then he failed. You've got to leave all judging to God. Now, we're called to eat and to feast and on Jesus until this word comes forth. But what's happened to us? The bride, the mustard seed life, the lamb life, is in the midst of a world system of Revelation 3:14-19. And it doesn't say now, dear people, notice, there's a bunch over here that are atheistic. Oh no, there's a church there. And she's rich in Christian goods and doesn't lack a thing, but she doesn't know. And in spite of what she thinks, she's wretched, she's miserable, she's blind, she's deaf, she's dumb, she's chaotic, she's lost. And now we're in the midst of her. Now you can say what you want, but she's all around us. Why? Because the branches cover the tree. That's right. And they're taking your life right off right now through the permissiveness of God, because he wants to bring forth a true bride tree and a true bride. But we're covered with branches. And we want to get shuck them, and that's the stupidest thing in the world, because we're not going to get shuck them, as far as I know, the rapture comes. Now, they can just come and go, but that's about the best of it. Surrounded by the... Now, listen. this bride surrounded by the horrible appeal of the availability of the materiality of the false word, pleasant to the eye, good to eat, make you wise, is bombarded to the point of almost staggering. That's right. I don't see today a militant bride, except by faith. And I'll not see her, I know, until that word gets a hold of her and she's vitalized with that word at the right season. Now remember, a baby will come forth through conception, which is two things mating, the sperm and the egg. And under the proper condition, as Brother Branham said, fertilization, all calling the seed, it's going to come forth. So we've got that which is coming forth under labor. See? Now, we are in a constant rat race. I don't care who you are. Whether you're mother, a father, a teacher, a preacher, what's your profession? You are in a rat race. And the rat race was brought on by the church because, as Brother Branham said, all smartness came from the Cain race, which is a church race. Now, listen, instead of Christ as our spiritual opiate, we are tempted by the diversion of running, buying, selling, and doing. Now, don't tell me we're not, because we are. Now, this goes from the preacher, the fivefold ministry, right down to the people. The restlessness of the age. The spirit increased with goods. Rich, lack nothing. Then if you don't lack anything, you do what you want. And we do what we want. That spirit has inundated us. The rat race. The multiplicity of goods. As the scripture said at the end time, the days of Noah, buying and selling. And he didn't say all but the bride. He said, they're all doing it. We're in the midst of it. Our pressures come from that. But notice, Jesus warned us. And he said, come unto all your labor and heavy, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is an instrument of work. A chore. Tedious. Under the whip. It will be a chore and a discipline. A chastisement when we just want to drop everything and go our way. God is demanding at this end time, as the Apostle Paul said, you can't have 2 feet in 2 kingdoms. Our training, our chastisement is to drop all else and go to Him and stay with Him until the heart ceases its error and no longer wants anything but Christ, as the prophet said, I want nothing but this word. The greatest chore that he had was to keep his thoughts and mind upon Christ. Jesus said to me one day, Brother Dale, I may get a thought in just going home. My family takes the thought from me. I might not get it back for a moment. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There is not much waiting upon the Lord at a time when there is no need to, because we've already got everything we need. The curse in the Garden of Eden was, look, it's good to look at. It's pleasant to eat. It's good for you, and it's here. How many things today has this latter-day church got? You can't put your finger on it as though it's some horrible sin, like committing murder, living in open adultery, all those things. No. The worst crime as I see it today is, as Brother Branham warned us, that when we go to prayer, it is never to ask God to change His mind, but it's the waiting upon Him until He changes our mind to line up to the Word.
Amen.
Now here's where we're losing out. He says, come unto me, you that are weary. Come unto me that believe this message. As the Scripture has set forth the Holy Spirit and the things of God. Under the ministry of a prophet, thou man of God, see, and learn these things that we're not learning. Now, let's examine people. You people know here, and I'm not using you as an illustration, because it's all, you simply know what goes around the country. People constantly moving. Now, I got a friend that moved to a certain city from another certain city. Before he moved, he talked to Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, I want you to know the only reason I'm going is because of that word. And Brother Branham said, that's the only thing that is worth going for.
Amen.
Now, I'm not against people going here and going there. But I'm a little bit worried when I find little bait held up to people come to my area. Now, I'll still tell you flat, I don't mind. When Brother Ray tried to come to our area, I tried to get him to this area. And I tried to get him where the two Jacks were, or the Bonnie. I'll be frank, or Brother Cash. I said, look, you're used to Florida in the South Country. Now, there's a nice little worker Brother Cash is. Well, I know Brother Balfour-Yers. He's certainly a fine brother. I know Brother Bonnie. I know Brother Palmer. Why don't you go there? See? Now, you gotta make sure you know where you're going. Why? Because the boy had a ministry.
Amen.
See, ministry would not have been in conflict here, but a ministry here would have been of no value except in a very minor secondary position. Now, I'm just trying to show you something here. It's easy to want to be a very minor secondary position. Now, I'm just trying to show you something here. It's easy to want to go someplace. And it's easier for people don't want you to go someplace. But the point is, why are you going? See? The running from a church to a church is not the answer. I'm afraid it's a Pentecostal holdover could be hideous. I'm not saying it is now in your case or some cases, because I don't know you and I don't care to know you or what you intend to do. But listen, watch those holdovers. The man couldn't get along with this church. To run into the next church. Now, why do people move around? Now, I'm not saying with organization you can't get along, that's different. But when it comes to this message, I can't see one man traveling down the road to another church unless he can prove by that word that man is off of that word. Then he better go to that man and have that thing lined up and see what's going to happen. I'm just trying to get a point across to you. Brother, sister, the spirit of this age is anarchy and rebellion against reality. And reality is lining up with that word. And it's not going here and going there thinking you're going to find the word, but it's coming to the Christ within and facing the world there and what that word says and then going right with it.
Amen, brother.
See? Now, man can easily leave a church, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and I think he ought to. See? I think he ought to. But I think when it comes to you and me, we had better know why we are going or why we are staying. See, I find in this case, now I'm not, this is in my notes here. You want me to read them for you? And these notes were made up several weeks ago. I'll read it here. See, we ought to go before Christ until our own sins are so magnified that all others seem small. Because we usually leave a church because we're fussing at the preacher. He's wrong, but we're right. I'm going to tell you something. Not because I'm a preacher, because I'm very, very fallible. But I would say this, I think knowing God and the things of God. I don't believe that God would have a true pastor who is anything but a man who is truly proper in his ways. Because I don't believe that God picks just anything up and says, now you pastor, as though he were foisting something upon the congregation which would be detrimental to them. But too often we find today the running because there is not enough understanding. See? And the magnifying of somebody else's sins above our own. Now, Simon the Pharisee looked at the little lady trying to minister to Christ, see? And he sneered at him. He was that kind of a guy. Sneering, see? Now, Jesus said, Simon, why? Just notice something here, he said, because you think I'm not a prophet because I don't know what's going on. I'm a prophet and I know what's going on. But he said, see, she's been forgiven much, so she loves much. And you've been forgiven little. So therefore, you're not in the forgiving class. Now, could it be that our own sins are making us look at somebody else? Especially the pastor. Huh?
That's the whole secret, my brother, my sister. Because if our sins were truly forgiven, and we truly knew it, there'd be a lot of love there to want the other fellow's sins forgiven too. But no, it's the old Pentecostal trick of pull out and run somewhere. You see, now that's in Luke 7:40. When we see how great our own sins are that are forgiven, then we'll move right. Brother Branham sat in the state of Ohio, my own state, on the outskirts of a town that I don't like, Toledo. Oh, I like the town and the people there, but I mean it's a town that's waterfront and it's foggy, dirty, the snow comes and all. It's a town I wouldn't want to live in if I had to, fine, but I don't like the town, period. He didn't like it either, from what he saw. Here he saw a woman whose flesh hung down like wrinkles in a stocking. She was old, decrepit, but sort of boozy and living it up with a couple of gutter bums, almost the way he described them. And I guess she was their girlfriend. And he sat there thinking, oh God, with such a rotten word, why don't you just blot the whole stinking mess up? You know, that's a little self-righteous. I get that way too. Like I often say, if it doesn't, the world doesn't blow up pretty quick, I'm going to light the bomb myself. You know, I'm just kidding, of course, meaning it's, you know, it's not even rough, really rough yet, but if this is in the green tree, it's bad. Well, I don't want to stick around for the dry tree, but I'd like you to be here, you know, for the whole mess, so the Lord wants it otherwise. Well, now, he said, Lord, with a mess like that woman, those men, I just don't see why you don't just destroy it all, you know, whole indignation. And a vision appeared to the world turning in a circle of blood and said, yes, if we're in that circle of blood, you'd be blown up with him. And he had to go and apologize to her and literally bring her back to Christ. Now, I'm showing you a picture here of what the Spirit of God is really like and what the Christian is really like in the Word. He isn't a man who's got to take offense and then run off. He's a man who can have the right kind of a showdown at the right time and then be a man and progress. Whatever that he's going to have to take. See? In some cases, it may be something which is so bad on either side, and I mean this in itself would be evil, not something you just surmise, but something which is so wrong. There might have to be a break in fellowship. But there doesn't have to be a break in love. See, doesn't that be a break in respect to the fact that that man's got to do a certain thing or believe a certain thing too? But I'm just thinking of this. See, what does the Word say under our present condition of the constant problems arising in our churches? Now, I don't want to belabor this point, but I've been called in on a couple of cases of adultery in pastors. And I did what I could. And I gave them the acid test, which was, how many of you people can restore that pastor? How many of you could take a pastor to commit adultery and with the utmost compassion and forgiveness wipe the slate clean and say, we have faith? Now don't say you can, because I don't believe you at this moment. Maybe a year from now, maybe a month from now, I might have faith. I'm not reading your minds or hearts. I'm talking about my own attitudes and what I know about people. I just don't believe you could do it. Now, just be honest yourselves. Could you do it? And yet the point is this, where did God ever take an office when man was ever called to an office? So you say, Brother Bailey, are you suggesting that a man can do something? I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying what the Word says. Who can come up to the Word? Who can consult that living Word within us and say, that's it? Now, see, I've dealt with two cases now. In both cases said, we don't want that pastor. See, now, there's lots of things go with that. Did the pastor come clean? See? Did he really tell the truth? Was he hedging? Did he say, oh, I just fell in the trap and was planning it for months? Well, that's the best kind of trap to fall in. I guess you really do things upright when you plan for months, don't you? It never turns out that good anyway. But I want to lay it on the counter this morning, see? Here we've got two worlds. Yeah, two worlds. Now, two guys want to progress. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's a Word way and the world way.
And the word way is Christ's way, and Christ's way is the word way, and you can't change it. And it's up to us to do it. See? The other fellow said, well, I'm getting along, bless God. See? I know our church got some problems. Oh, I don't think the brother did too right when he did it. But they got together and forgave each other, then he brought them under the blood. Started the same thing in the church over again. Brother Branham categorically said, now listen, this is condemnation to you and me by a prophet. If you or I ever bring anything out from under the blood, once it's confessed and dealt with, you will stand in the judgment for that man's sin. You didn't do it, but you'll stand in judgment for his sin because you brought it out. Now, we've got a chance this morning. Do you want a foot in each kingdom? This ain't going to work. A foot in each kingdom, the pull is going to be so hard, it's going to pull you and me right to pieces. And you know, you can't stand too much pull, can you? You'll split right in the middle. See? One time somebody said, if you can stand the pull, the Lord will pull you through, that's right. But you can't stand two pulls, just one pull. See? Now what about? What about these people that put pressure on people? Yeah, I'm interested in some of those things. I'm interested in the Bible way. See? The clear thinking when it comes to an issue that you're holding up that you feel very dear and you're right about. I said to a man several years ago, I said, Brother Branham told me, and I asked him, Brother Branham, is that tent literal or physical? I don't know what it is myself. He said, Brother Bill, from where I stand, he said, it's more physical to me than literal. That's what he told me. He also said in the tape, I don't know, he said, that one vision hasn't come to pass, he said, that ten vision. He said, it might have come already, we missed it, didn't understand or something. Some of the things, huh? This brother said to me, well, Brother Bill, you're telling me that Brother Branham didn't know at that time what that vision was about? I said, yes. He said, then how do you know? But I didn't know. But you see, he claimed that he did know. Now watch this. Now watch it. That's not the Bible way, dude. Because if I'm wrong, then he's got to be wrong. But I wasn't wrong because I don't know. But he said he didn't know. But the prophet said anything, he said interpretation comes with manifestation. See, let's wait and see. What's the Bible way? Because I'm not going to preach this message personally. I'd have to go to each one and say, Brother Bale, I got a problem here. That's between you and God. You do with what you're supposed to do with those brothers and sisters around you. You're the one that's got to go and say, I'm sorry. You're the one that's got to go and make it right. If there's something made right. Amen. See? But once you've cleared that slate, then you go right down the road, see? And don't ever let the devil accuse you, because he's going to come right around to accuse you. See? He'll do his best. But stay with this word, because that's where your hope is, and that's where the glory of God is going to come forth. In this word, the Lord bless you, shall we pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we realize this morning, Lord, and we hope as never before, that there are the two kingdoms, and there is the Word, and all else is anti-Word, which is not the revealed Word. Lord, we know that this anti-Word is just exactly like a screen on a person's window to keep out the mosquitoes. And it's full of holes, so the mosquitoes just come in. And nobody wants to mend the hole, so the mosquitoes keep coming in and buzzing and biting. And that's the way your people are today, Lord. They have forgotten to mend the fences and to mend the holes, and just come right back to the intact word, and then stay behind it, so the fiery darts of the enemy and the wicked trusts will not come through. As Paul said, raise that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. And Lord God, here it is that it's so simple, as the prophet said in the little song this morning, it's so simple, it's going over people's heads. Looking for this kingdom and that kingdom and this avenue and that avenue, there's only one. One door and only one. One shepherd, one sheepfold, one door, one kingdom, one God, one word. Just one. And Lord, we know that's the simplest thing that even a baby gets. May we come to that place this morning, Lord. Write down. Bless each one, O God. The pastors, the people, bring them speedily, Lord, to that place we pray. Again, O God, we're praying for those that had the request this morning in sickness. Again, we pray, feeling impressed, O Lord. Spare life, we pray. Spare physical pain, we pray. O God, give grace, we pray. And may your health, which comes from your hand, Lord, speedily come now and deliver, O God. And also, Lord, any amongst us, we pray, if they be out of the way, out of the path, O Lord God, I pray that that path may somehow seem bright and beautiful so they can say, this is all that I want. What matters the rest? As Paul said, you brought nothing in, you're going to take nothing out. Oh, God, help us to see there's nothing of this earthly kingdom going to get in that kingdom which really owns it all. Every plant which my heavenly Father hasn't planted is going to be torn up. Burned to the burning. Lord, help us to be one with your word. Grant it, I pray, O God. Give journey, mercy, whatever's needed, O Lord. We pray that you'll give them. We pray at this time. And we'll be careful now to give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we rise at this time. And we'll be dismissed. And what's the little song you sing? Take the name of Jesus with you. Is that fine? All right. Yeah, he has copies if you care to. Myself, I don't care for it. I'll just stick with my notes. All right, take the name of Jesus with us. Let's sing then. He's starting with it.